Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast. In these podcasts, we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday sermons at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll also discuss other topics as we consider how to live out our faith in Christ. Our desire is that the Word of God would press into your everyday life.
Welcome back. This is Josh.
And this is Scott.
Yep. And the big question on everybody's mind now that it's November is it time for Christmas decorations and Christmas music, or do you wait till after Thanksgiving?
I think you do whatever you want to do. Around the office here, we have a staff member who was playing Christmas music at the end of October. And then if that's what makes him happy, then let's do it.
Yeah.
But if you don't put up Christmas decorations, that's me. I say you do whatever you want to do. I don't care.
What do you do? I'm not asking for a rule. I'm asking at the patty house, when does the Christmas tree go up?
Well, that would be whenever Beth decides to put it up, whenever I get it down. We do have an artificial tree, which is, I can't believe we do that, but no offense to anybody out there with an artificial tree.
I mean, we have allergies and stuff at our house, so we have the artificial tree as well. Yeah.
But yes. So yeah, but I don't know. Whenever I think we'll probably, I mean, Thanksgiving maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of what we typically do too. Yeah.
I don't really have a rule about it, and don't pay too much attention to it.
we had a in high school Sunday school. The guy teaching, you know, was like, We started a sort of a incarnation like series for a few weeks leading up to Christmas, which will take longer than Advent season.
Okay,
and so he was like, "We're going to listen to a Christmas song today," and there was great division.
Oh, really?
Among the students.
Well, what do you do?
We do the day after Thanksgiving.
Okay,
yeah.
So you have a tradition.
Yeah, we might leave the lights up a little longer than New Year's Day or something, but that's more out of laziness than out of like propriety.
Yeah. Now we have some little lights around our porch that just stay up year round.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, listen, Christmas music, if it's good Christmas music, it's got the gospel in it, I say play it in July. Who cares?
Nice. Yeah. All right. Well, we're not starting Advent, regardless of decoration. We're not an Advent sermon series. We're still in Acts.
Yes.
So let's hear the overview from this past week.
Acts 6, there was a little internal issue going on with the church in Jerusalem. And I don't have time in this podcast to explain all the details of who's who, the Hellenists and the Hebrews. But we can say they were all Jewish believers in Christ, and they had a problem about the widows being overlooked in the serving of food.
Yeah.
And so it's the whole account of how the apostles brought forth the clarity of the moment. You know, they can't neglect the ministry of the word, prayer, the ministry of the word. So they appointed seven others to take care of the distribution of food. And the main point was that God's word continued to increase and the number of disciples continued to grow.
Yeah.
And even priests came to faith in Christ. So it was the priority of the word while at the same time making sure that you're meeting the needs that the Bible tells us to meet, meeting the needs that the Bible tells us to meet among the body of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was a great, you know, I think you can fall into a ditch where you can say, you only need the ministry of the word. It's all that matters at all.
Yeah.
And neglect some people. Or you can get in the, we're just here to meet. If we do any ministry of the word, then it makes it seem like the meeting of needs is like a project or something.
Yeah.
And this is a really great, I feel like what they did there was a great
showing
of the priority, but that it doesn't diminish this other need over here to nothing.
Right.
And they take care of it.
It actually complements the word and care. The word is what directs the church to care. But putting the priority on the word keeps the word front and center, because that's what converts the soul.
Yeah.
So there's no conflict. I was trying to hopefully that came out Sunday, that there's no conflict here. There's no competition here. It should be a complementing work of the church.
Yeah. And that the church, you know, I know there's a little bit of difference because these are apostles and that kind of thing. But ministry is not only meant to be done by like the clergy. quote right. unquote, right? That you have a delegation happening here, mm-hmm. Where there are qualified people who are brought in to take care of practical needs along with. So there's kind of a widening of the circle of some of the responsibilities in mm-hmm. the church life, which mm-hmm. I think was helpful too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even before that, I think you could find evidence that even without a designation of seven qualified men to oversee this particular ministry to the widows, you yep. could have evidence earlier of just people taking care of each other.
That's right.
In relationships and more organically, and not even with some kind of, you know, official
yeah.
designation.
Yeah, presumably there was a distribution going to widows already.
Yeah.
And these ones were being neglected, and that's why this rose up. So yeah, yep. there was already practical needs being met without mm-hmm. an official title yeah. to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Well, in this, you have this theme mm-hmm. of there's a need that is apparent, and yeah. that's kind of what brings some tension into the mix here. And so the question might arise, there are a lot of needs out there. So as a church, how do we decide what needs we're going to meet? Obviously, we're going to prioritize the ministry of the word, just like this said, mm-hmm. but then there's the attending to needs. How do we decide what yeah. needs we are going to take care of and who we're going to take care of and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. That's a good question, because I think over time, that more and more can get layered onto a church, mm-hmm. and therefore the church gets overburdened with things that maybe it doesn't need to do, mm-hmm. and it could then neglect the word. So I think the discernment of the question, you know, putting the question out, how do we decide, and then using good discernment is important.
Yeah, you know, with that, I think this also, I don't want to spend all the time on individual or anything, but like I think even as individuals, we feel a little overburdened because of the knowledge that we have of like all these things going on. Mm-hmm. Communication, you know, technology yeah. and communication make us more aware than ever before about needs that are all over the place.
Yeah.
Whereas like before the internet or television or things like that, you're really only aware of the immediate needs around you and some really big needs that make it through the news. But now it's just like you could know about so much.
Well, that's right. And you get, I get asked about so much. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I actually signed up for emails, but I get regular emails, like regular,
yeah,
a couple times a week at least, of needs. Some are here in Nashville, and some are on the other side of the world.
Yeah,
and most of them come with an ask.
Yep.
And so I don't know how many, so I won't say, but I will say it is numerous asks for money, for what I would presume are real needs, but yeah. I don't know how to discern my role as an individual. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I do, and I've done it, but that means I can't give to all of them, but
sure.
It calls for discernment. And so it calls for the church too. So that's the question. How does the church, how does a congregation determine what needs to be met? And so here, I've got several here. The first thing I would say is the church and people in the church, organizational leaders need to ask, is this a need that the church is commanded to meet, and that it should meet, because again, there are needs all over the world, or in a city, but the church can't meet them all. So we have to ask, what does the Bible tell us to do? Well, it tells us to take care of widows and orphans. It tells us that if we see people in need of food and clothing, mm-hmm. We should be able to provide that. So determining what needs we're commanded and to who. Another one that's important right now is it a real need?
Yeah.
So in a day of modern conveniences, when a convenience goes away, does that constitute a need that then a congregation should help meet in someone's life? Mm-hmm. And I would say no. We have to discern what is truly a need, yep. and what is more in the world of we've grown accustomed to this convenience.
Yep.
You know, an extreme example, and this is I'm saying this is an extreme example on purpose, but an extreme example would be, you know, if someone can't pay their cable bill, Yeah. You know, I wouldn't want the church benevolence money to be going to pay for someone's, entertainment.
Yeah.
We have a Netflix line item in the benevolence. We don't want to do that.
Sure. So
is it a real need, like food, mm-hmm. like shelter, clothes, you know, those kinds of things. So yep. You just got to ask the basic question. I think the Bible teaches that needs are to be met by different people. So that's the question. Who should meet the need? Mm-hmm. So let's go back to what we were talking about Sunday with widows. You know, Paul's clear in 1 Timothy 5 that families should take care of widows, mm-hmm. and that congregations take care of widows when families aren't there, so the widow is truly alone. Or I would say also when families don't.
Yeah.
We would not want a widow to go unfed.
Right.
But we would also say to the family, you need to take care of your family.
Yeah. So if we had like a church member who was a widow and her other family were also church members.
Yeah.
Then if she was coming and asking, the first thing we might say is, well, what about your family?
Yeah.
And then it might be bringing them into the discussion.
That's right.
Whether she's not actually articulated because she's, maybe there's a pride issue there and she doesn't want to go to her family and she just thought she'd come to the church, or there's an estrangement issue or
you got to work through that because the right people are called to meet the right needs, and the Bible says that it appoints some things to families, some things to congregations, and some things to government. Mm-hmm. You know, protection is a need. And so in some respects, I am a protector, provide needs for my family, but not legal protections.
Right.
You know, the church doesn't have a police force to protect our congregation. We rely upon the government to bear the sword.
Yep.
And so that's a big point of discussion there, is who should meet the need. And then I would say proximity would be helpful to us. If a person among us is in need, I think we have a greater responsibility. We see it. It's among us. We have the means to do it. We do it. Not versus. I don't want to say we don't ever meet needs that are not in close proximity, but I don't think we have as great a responsibility to meet needs where we don't really know who the people are or where they are or what the processes are that we're going to use to get to meet the need.
Yeah.
I think proximity matters.
Yeah.
In many respects, and I think it can come into play in terms of meeting need.
So, Scott, up until this point, I think everything that you've mentioned is about what the church is compelled to do, mm-hmm. like what is a command from the Lord, and mm-hmm. that is to meet needs. We mm-hmm. have to decide what those are versus what they're free to do. Mm-hmm. So just because something is maybe doesn't fall under the category of a need doesn't mean that a church couldn't decide to do it.
Right.
They're just not compelled to do it. That's and right. I think there's also a difference between the church as an organization where we have the management of tithes and offerings, and there has to be decisions and processes and stuff, mm-hmm. versus, say, a small group of church members who see a need from a congregation member, mm-hmm. and they decide of their own volition to do that.
Yes.
They can decide amongst themselves whether it needs to happen or not. And even if the thing that they're providing for doesn't fit the need paradigm mm-hmm. for the organization, doesn't mean that it would be wrong in some way. Like in Acts, it talks about them having all things in common.
Correct.
That's like just, I'm going to let you borrow something of mine.
Yes.
Even if you don't technically need it or something. Yeah.
Spot on. Yes. And that's my own personal practice. What I'm referring to is corporately, congregationally, mm-hmm. in terms of giving oversight to other people's money.
Yeah.
The Lord's money, but given through other people.
Yeah.
I would, the need would be more clearly defined as a real need.
Yeah.
Versus me personally. Mm-hmm. So I personally do things to help out people that wouldn't qualify as a need for the church to do.
Yeah.
I don't mind doing that, and I like doing it. So yes, there's a difference between an individual choosing to bless someone in some way, in whatever way they choose. It's their money, they're free to do it.
Yeah.
Versus a congregation that, as Paul said, you know, needs to be careful not to be overburdened with certain things, mm-hmm. and a congregation that has actually said to the donors to that congregation, we meet truly benevolent needs.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't have people lining up for things that aren't needs.
Sure.
And so there's an organizational element that I'm discussing with in terms of the congregation. But you said something that leads me to, I think, you know, maybe my final point, and that is, as a congregation is discerning needs, it has to do it the right way, use the right processes, the right mm-hmm. accountability, the right measures for, is this a true need? Those kinds of things. Because yeah. because we do handle other people's money.
Yep.
I'm using that term because that's a term that's used in the nonprofit, in the business world. It's other people's money.
Sure.
We know it's the Lord's money. We give it to the church as unto the Lord. But then certain people in the church have a responsibility to oversee its proper use. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that calls for guidelines for the church to both receive and to use money.
Yeah.
So, for instance, I don't receive offerings. I don't take up offerings. I don't, you know, I'm one person. I'm not the right. process.
Yeah.
Nor do I just make decisions what I'm going to do for people based on what I want to do.
Yeah.
Nor do I assume. I actually have a practice. We have a practice here. We don't assume someone has a need.
Yeah.
And therefore just choose on our own to go meet it. We actually have to
wait for a request.
Yeah, we have to have a real request, because if we start assuming that one person has a need, then the question is, well, why didn't you assume that somebody else had the need?
Yep.
And then why not the next person? Mm-hmm. And so we can't do that. It's not the right process. So the process would be, there's a real request. We a group designated to do it determines if it's a real need.
Yep.
The need that we can meet, and then can we meet it? And then we do meet it, and then there's a lot of accountability and, you know, records and that kind of stuff.
Well, and the phrase, for some, hearing the phrase like process mm-hmm. sounds very modern and American, but mm-hmm. we see Paul, I mean, you talked about it on Sunday, where Paul is kind of defining
yeah.
who a true widow is in yeah. his own mind. And the point of that is to prioritize people that are truly in the greatest need, yeah. essentially.
Yes.
Because if they have a family who could be caring for them, well, we shouldn't consider them in this list because they have another, they have extra protections, extra safety, extra provision that's yeah. possible there.
Yeah.
And so that is a process. And I think that sets it up in a way that they're going to be using that money wisely.
That's right. And then there's another process that Paul refers to when he refers to taking up the offering to minister to the poverty needs of the Christians back mm-hmm. in Jerusalem, yeah. in Judea. And so he has a whole process of when it's taken and who handles it and how it gets back. And
yeah.
So no, process is not a modern thing. Process is a Bible.
That's right.
It's a Bible thing. You mean go all the way back to building the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. It was a process
yeah.
for how the money was collected or how the materials were collected. And
yeah, some of the scripture there you could see as like receipts
yeah.
a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's important. Yeah. So all those together, just, you know, it is important that the church be the church and obey the Lord and care for the people that it's called to care for and to do it the right way. All the time, keeping the word of God and the gospel, the priority message of the church. Mm-hmm. And then, as you've mentioned, there are some ways that we can learn as individuals to just do what God puts on our hearts, what we see in front of us, without even necessarily involving the organization
yep.
of the local congregation. Just go do it.
Yeah.
For free.
Okay. And then, you know, moving forward, we're getting to Stephen next week, right?
Yeah. So he's one of the men who was put in charge of caring for the Hellenistic widows.
Yep.
And now, right after that, we're gonna see him as a man who's very powerful in the spirit and wisdom and powerful in his preaching. And there's a dispute now that's going to break out. He will mm-hmm. become a Christian martyr. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll be working through that the next couple weeks.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it.
Okay.